This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome, After Buzzers. You are watching the after show for the Queen Sugar season finale. I am, where tonight we talk Secrets Revealed, Charlie Wins, and The Family Heals. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome back, guys. We are back for our season finale. I'm your host, Mr. Shaka Smith, but we got my wonderful co-host, Ms. Dontara Terrell.
Hey.
This is her first show, but we hope to see her back on AfterBuzz every week. I've loved having you here.
Yes.
It's been awesome.
Thank you.
Glad to share your first time.
Yes.
And, of course, we've got Ms. Thelma and Mbezuwe Daniel, who you can hopefully see on HBO Succession, the after show on Sundays. I'm praying we can get you to join us. Can we do it?
We'll see what's going on. We're trying to recruit.
Yeah, of course. I miss you guys already. I can't believe we've been at this for 13 weeks and it's over.
I know.
Jeez. Well, at least we got this segment. So today we have our news, our predictions, and our Big Easy scene where we give you a little slice of NOLA life. But let's get into our overall thoughts. What are your overall thoughts, Dontara?
A lot of plot twists. I feel like we came to a sense of understanding and closure also in everyone's relationships for the most part.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Like, yeah, kinda. We weren't left with like a big cliffhanger or big, right. Like, oh my God, this has to be resolved.
Exactly. Yeah. I loved how it all ended with them in all white visiting, you know, her mom's gravesite. I felt like I said, it was like full circle. It was closure.
Again.
Yeah. And also, kind of, I feel like maybe Nova was right in terms of with the book launch, she was trying to bring everybody together. I don't know, but those are my initial thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, Nova will always have a point. It's always how she did it, you know?
Yes.
But also with that, I think for me, similar to you, but it was like all divine intervention from just kind of like, Raw was not having it. Like, if it wasn't like, mom left, this is her dying wish, it's like, no, actually, no, we're not gonna rekindle this relationship. So I was really happy to see that happen, but also in terms of how the family had those chips to play, that was also really interesting to see. So
yeah, I just love the spirit of healing. Like, I felt as a viewer I was healed a little bit, because there were certain things I didn't know if I would be able to go down that road with Nova, but they were able to get me there, so I right. felt healed by the episode.
I was about to say, just like you, you know, it takes a lot to hold a grudge. And I felt like my energy was just getting drained every week trying to hold on this grudge of Nova. So I'm like,
and she was working. She was doing the
so
work,
so the weight
right?
was lifted off of my shoulder. I'm like, okay.
Well, this episode, we got a lot of, like, secrets revealed. And they almost did them without really, like, hitting us over the head with them. Just like, oh, on the sly, by the way. So the first big secret was, why did Sam and Vi have this special relationship? And it looks like she helped him. Well, I guess she's been fooled a little bit, but it looks like she helped her friend get out of town and, you know, cover for Sam that they weren't having a relationship, but I guess it was interracial.
Yeah, that definitely seems to be what they alluded to.
But it seems that she doesn't know that he has been back in touch with that daughter, and that daughter is Parker.
Yeah, and he also went as far as to play it off when she brought it up.
Yeah, like,
he was just like, I couldn't have stayed in touch with you guys because Trudy would have used it.
Right,
to destroy me.
Yeah. So is he using Aunt Vi? Because I feel like he played Aunt Vi. Like,
well, using her in so far as not letting her know that he'd been in contact, because she might somehow tip off. I don't even know.
What's the game plan?
I think the game plan is that he's in a space where he needs his sister gone.
Yeah.
But he also thinks for optics, like, he can't be the one to do it, which is why he also said, you know, I'm glad it was you doing it, because now I gave you the ammunition to go ahead and do over to do a takeover that you thought was against me or whatever, but it's, this is like the master plan all along.
And with Parker, he gets to have clean hands because no one's going to trace Parker back to him. So they're not going to be thinking the Beckington group is doing something in service of Sam Landry.
See, snakes. I don't like this because snakes. And my girl on Vi, you know. And now he's playing my girl on Vi.
Yeah, and it was kind of revealed all low-key. Like, it was real, like, but this is a huge sort of, like, plot that's been going on.
Yes. All along.
Yeah.
Right, so.
And Francis is finally taken out, too.
You know what? Can we talk about Francis?
Oh, yeah. I even though it was part of Landry's plan, now we know, I'm still happy that she got her comeuppance, right?
So happy.
I am, too. I just feel my skin was boiling when the cops came and get her.
Yeah, of course.
I feel like privilege just all the way around. It's like, if you know what's best for you, don't put those handcuffs on me. Ma'am, you're a felon now.
Yeah. And you saw that knowing look on Charlie, because Charlie looked and she almost couldn't believe, but then she probably was reminded of this is the way the world works. But when she's got Micah there and he's getting treated like this, and then she can just demand, even with the proof of, you know, what's
I want to speak to your superior. Yeah. Ma'am, we got all the proof. You don't need to speak to anybody. I was just like, oh, no.
Yeah, and it certainly was the difference between the way we're all treated.
Definitely.
Was definitely highlighted.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and so we had some more secrets revealed, and we find out about Trudy's resting place, which actually sort of led to a lot of the healing behind this episode. And so that was an interesting secret that was revealed. I guess they kind of figured that out. What do you think about how they figured out this resting place and that this whole idea that it was between her and Ernest?
Well, I know that, you know, her aunt did tell her about it. So ever since then, it was like one of those things that she probably wanted to share with the only person she can share it with, which is Ralph Angel. So I think that that was great. But I do feel like sometimes whenever for us to get closure, we tend to want to, you know, make sure that we have a definition to things that are going on. So I feel like whatever works for them, whatever brings them to where their mom, if it's her favorite flowers, if it's her favorite color, if it's her favorite place on the farm, whatever kind of brings them that closure works for me.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to agree with that because I know how it is losing a parent, because I lost my mom, and I felt my mom always had a green thumb and she loved flowers. So part of me feeling that closeness to her, I always, like, every week it's a line item in my budget. I have to get my mom's flowers in my house, you know, just to sort of remind me of it. And in front of her is a picture. And now I'm trying to get a green thumb, too. So now I have, like, these plants all over my house and flowers just to remind me of my mother and be that, you know, establish that closeness.
I thought it was interesting because she actually told them she was cremated so they wouldn't be tied to the land, so they would be able to move on if they wanted to.
But it also was coupled with her diary, so I feel like a journal. So I feel like that's really what's going to unravel so much next season, because, well, I'll save that for predictions, but we just talked about how calm things are, and I feel like, of course, we need to be at peace before we see things really erupt, especially on the other side.
Yeah. And hopefully there's some stuff erupting in our chat, and we want you guys to be commenting and interacting with
us. After Buzzers, you know, we're so happy to have you guys because you help us be the ESPN of TV sports, of TV news, actually. So we really hope that you guys can help us by subscribing to our YouTube channel through dramas, realities, sci-fi, and more. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Also comment, reach out to us, and we'll be happy to reach back out to you and say thank you for watching and staying tuned.
Yes, absolutely. We definitely appreciate the interaction. We see you guys in the chat.
Shout out from the fans right here. We have Jamie Dupree, Ruru91, Doran Provost, Ace Ho Fetish, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Taylor, April, Ken from Chicago, and that's about it. Thank you guys for joining
Thank
us.
You guys for joining us. The chat is lit. We love it.
I'm about to say, keep it popping.
Yeah, right? And then we got to talk about Charlie's big win, which I almost wasn't sure how it was going to go. You know, we had that 3%. What did you guys think about Charlie pulling off the win and what it now looks like it's going to mean for her being a cog in this machine?
You want to go first?
I mean, sure. I just feel like this is just one of those things where it's like behind the mountain, there's a mountain. Yeah. So it's just like it just continues to go on. So there'll always be something else, another level, another thing that you're battling. But I feel like right now I'm really glad that the writers didn't make it this thing where she lost and then won later, because you know, sometimes a valiant effort is enough in terms of having the people behind you and making it happen the first time.
And I love that she was ready for that eventuality if need be, and that she gave that story about not giving up and like digging in.
I actually thought that was going to be a plot twist, that she was going, that she wasn't going to win, but then something, you know, fishy, something, you know, going on in politics, and it was going to come back that she actually won. That's where I thought it was going. It took me by surprise, and it was like, because look, 2 seconds ago, she was down, and then 2 seconds later, it was like, she won. I was like, now, was that an hour that passed, or two hours? Like, it was just very sudden to me, but I'm definitely glad she won. I feel like Parker, she might have met her match. And can we please shout out Parker, who went to Spelman College and then went to Wharton and then
I did want to touch back on that from last episode, because for sure I think that like right now we do have a new breed of people who are really coming in and making HBCUs and taking those names like to places higher and higher.
Yeah,
I feel like it's always been that way, though.
It has been, but I feel like even now, like, it's something that people are more committed to.
And I feel like with social media, like,
And brief aside, did you guys see that? I think with Laura Ingraham had on one of a football player, and she asked him about, I guess there was some writing about, some guy says, you guys should maybe go to the HBCUs. Take your talents. Telling all the players to do that because you're bringing so much money to these different universities.
The Atlantic article.
And then he actually agreed with Jamil, and Laura Ingraham was completely caught off guard by that. But I think there is that sort of that push now. They're saying, look, HBCUs are valid institutions of education and higher learning and excellence, and we maybe need to be investing back in our communities in that way as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I feel like it's always been this big push.
Lately it's feeling like it's been more mainstream.
Okay. it might be a different aspect, because I feel like I said, I grew up in that environment where we were always surrounded by that. Yeah. So maybe it might be, to your point, it might be a little bit more mainstream. I think I was just always sort of accustomed to it. So that's why it's been a great push in our household.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing those issues like kind of pop up on the show.
Right. Oh, and I want to make a correction for last week, because I was so caught up in the moment. PWI is predominantly white institution, not private white institution. Okay. So I just wanted to make that clarification.
I never even heard that terminology. Yeah.
And also, while we're making, you know, clarifications, it's the ESPN of TV talk. Okay. Let's go ahead and do that right now.
But with Parker, I'm excited to see how this unfolds. Yeah. I'm like, yes, with this competition.
And I think part of Charlie winning, Charlie actually for me won before the race was called, when she gave that speech coming out of the precinct. Yeah. You know, Dawn Line Gardner always, they give her these moments and she always steps up and goes above and beyond. What did you guys think about her delivery there? She came out of the precinct,
Ooh, she said that with so much conviction and just authority, and she held that down.
Yeah.
I was like her public speaking is on a whole nother level. And I'm like, Charlie, please.
when she said when you come after my family, you can't miss, and you missed.
And did you see how Ambi was like looking at her from the side? Ambi was looking like that's my bloodline.
They literally were all standing there. It was just like wonderful, like a formation video.
Yeah.
I was like, this is absolutely fabulous.
That scene was beautiful.
I loved it. You know, I will admit, when Charlie met with Francis. Number one, when Francis was like, I did you the order of ordering you some tea, and Charlie drank it, I was like, man, you shouldn't have drank that tea.
I did notice that. I was like, you drank that tea?
Right. But then also, when Charlie started talking about all the evidence that she had against her, I was about to get mad, because I feel like a lot of times Charlie prematurely shows her hand. I hate that she always just goes for it. I'm like, play it out, you know. But then when the police came out, I was like,
because Francis really did play it off like for a moment. And I was like, did she actually send the emails? Because I'm actually believing her at this point.
Right. She she's always like that. Yeah. Very calm and what do you mean? I don't know what you speak of.
Yeah, she definitely tried to play it off. But I feel like Charlie just came in. First of all, that outfit, wow. That suit, I was like, wow. She came in ready to win. So I feel like in every aspect, it was something that we've all been waiting for, especially ever since she called her mulatto. I was like,
So, and we got to talk about the family healing. We had different elements of family healing, but let's go ahead and start off with Ra and Darla and Blue as a unit. It was nice to see Blue get that closure from the father, not from the grandfather. Mm-hmm. What did you guys think about that moment and how Blue was able to receive this last gift? I'm looking at them.
Okay, first of all, I thought it was great. I thought it was fabulous. It just took us off. It took me off guard, you know, because I don't know. And I think that also has something to do with how in society we relate gifts to maybe like some kind of like monetized worth, you know?
Yeah, material.
Maybe, yeah, like it will like be a beach ball. You know what I mean? But it's like, to be honest, that's actually really relevant for where he's at in life and probably the experiences that they share together. So it was definitely a learning moment.
If y'all would have seen these two faces when he opened that gift.
I mean, were we the only ones in the chat? Were we the only ones taken aback by the beach ball as a gift?
By the beach ball. A beach ball. And then immediately Ron starts explaining because you like the beach.
No, I will admit, at first I was like, I just thought it was so much more because they've been building up this anticipation. Yeah. Remember when he found the boss? I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this? What is this? Yeah. And then it was the beach ball. So at first I was taken aback. But then I was like, you know what? It don't even matter what it is. It was just like a last parting gift from his grandfather, who he adored, who he admired. So
I mean, the box looks like it was worth more than the beach ball.
Okay, but, let it go, Shaka.
No. But there by the end of it, though, there was that moment where he said, Pop's breath is in here. And that, to me, was like very powerful. And so I almost wish I would have seen it from an angle a little bit earlier. But that to me was really powerful. Yeah.
Okay, so has either one of you lost like a close person to you, like a parent or anybody?
Like your grandmother?
Were you like close, like Blue and?
Not
as close as
that. Okay, because I was going to say, that's what made me like sort of change my mindset when I saw the beach ball. Because like when he said, you know, Pop's breath is in it.
Yeah, that.
And then like I have my mom. Because I love to write. She had bought me a journal before she passed, and it was like a gift for me. And so I was reading the journal. She like wrote a little message inside of it at the beginning page when she first passed away.
Yeah.
But literally during my grieving process, I would not let that journal out of my sight because I was like, my mom touched this journal. Her hands were on this journal. This is so, I felt like that's why I was like.
That connection.
Connection. Yeah. So that's why I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's going to be, it might be his new Kenya, that beach ball.
Yeah. So.
And then that kind of sparked, or I guess Darla wanted to continue that conversation. And, you know, of course, I've been on a roller coaster with this relationship, but I liked the connection I saw in this episode. What did you guys feel about the connection, the trueness of the connection, and the lastingness of the connection?
I think that Ra is so used to playing a role of somebody who is saving Darla from everyone, including herself. And I think that Darla is trying to go out of her way to prove that she's standing on her own two feet this time.
Yeah.
So I think even when we had that moment of him saying, like, all the things that he said and just topping it off with, you know, I don't hold any of it against you or something along those lines. And she's like, absolutely not, you know?
Yeah.
I need to take responsibility for my actions. So I think that was really a powerful moment because a lot of times in the chat, we're all talking about how all we know about them is that they're toxic. So to see them turn a new leaf, I think is very possible and also gives hope.
This was their most adult moment. It was almost like, because we talked about Ra and Deesha and the way they handled that, and this was like almost... Deesha was inhabiting Darla. Like, they had this really responsible, emotional, adult-like talk.
Agreed. And also, I feel like the growth in terms of just Darla and herself and the emotional depth that she's displaying in terms of taking accountability for her actions. Like, when she said that, I'm like, okay, Darla.
Yeah.
Look, tilt to the side. But listen, he said, I love you, Darla. Darla, all of you, I love you, flaws and all.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, somebody tell me that.
Is he in therapy? Because he has like the right reactions to her saying, I don't want to be. Yeah, and it's like those lines, you know. When she says, I don't want you to look at me, I want you to look at me the way you used to, because I can't. And she's thinking, oh man, she's like, no, because you're braver and stronger, more beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm like, can someone write me these lines to say that?
Right. I mean, I love it. I love. I think it was a beautiful moment between them. I'm actually a little eager to see where this goes. I just hope where it goes and where it leads, it's in the right direction. And if they do decide to like get together and stay, like if they do decide to get together, that they stay together. But it's still on a healthy note. It's still on this, you know, being transparent with each other and being open and honest, you know, in terms of the communication.
Yeah. And doing what's in the best interest of Blue.
So
and another healing we kind of touched on is Ra and Nova, but before we got to the healing part, there were some real emotional moments from Ra in her relationship to Nova that we haven't really seen before, especially in the precinct.
Can we talk about him first off?
Yeah.
This is the loudest that he has spoken all four seasons. When the guy says, sir, language, sir, racism, and then Nova says something, nobody talking to you. I was like, ooh. This is the loudest we've heard him.
I wonder if they're setting him up. He
literally came marching in, nobody's talking to you, Nova.
Oh, yeah. I was like, whoa, this is a different
Even Nova was like, All right, cool.
That was like that 12-year-old Ralph Angel that like probably told her off in some fight, you know?
But I felt like Amba was about to give it to him in that precinct. She like, one more outburst. One more outburst.
But it shows you how, you know, even though he's got that past, that we're put in situations that almost call for us to give that reaction.
Yeah. It's like a trigger.
Yeah.
It's definitely a trigger to see him in that space and in that atmosphere. And then for them to have done this to every single person now, to Charlie, it's like, absolutely not. But I think I loved seeing Charlie come out so calm.
Yeah.
It's almost like, okay, girl, like, but she's like, nope. At the end of the day, it didn't even, my lawyer didn't even fly in order to, like, shake.
We had him on Skype.
He literally, like, didn't even, he texted. Yeah. He texted, and I was out, so it's awkward.
It was good. Yeah. And a little bit more family healing. I guess they're trying to bring Calvin, or Nova's trying to bring Calvin into the family. But I liked the moments they had together. But of course, I felt the same awkwardness when, you know, she tried to introduce him to the family, and certainly Ralph Angel shot him that look. What do you think about Calvin's attempt to assimilate?
Well, first off, let me just say shout out to Calvin, because I think he's eye candy for the screen. I love how he approached Micah, and he took that initiative to approach him. And even when he told him, you're stronger than I ever was at your age. Like,
just to give him that.
Look, is everybody in therapy? Because everybody's knowing the right things to say to each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And even Micah, just the way he had... Because you could tell Micah was not about him at all. And then for a moment, he looks over at Nova and is like, okay, I'm going to do this for you, you know?
Yeah.
And so just that maturity. Like, everyone just seems in this episode to be getting it right.
Yeah. Right, because also, I feel like everyone understood that it was Charlie's night. Yeah, it was her day. It was her night. Yeah.
I think they're... a couple key relationships that are on this season of Queen Sugar that I'm so excited to see the writers and the team explore, because they're so indicative of what's going on, you know, and how to navigate such complicated relationships in the real world. Like, one of those is definitely Nova and
Calvin.
Mm-hmm. Because that's such a, like, you know, everyone talks about those kinds of relationships, whether indoors or outdoors, and everyone has, like, what they feel like could be right. How are you really open? Is it really somebody seeing all aspects of who you are, including, like, all of your culture? So I feel like it's really important to see this play out. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, and we haven't seen Nova take too much flack about maybe the hypocrisy of being so about building the black family, the black community, but dating this guy. So we haven't seen her address any of that sort of criticism, so I wonder if that'll happen in the future. But
that's a good
Well, yeah, because it's not just an interracial relationship, it's also that they're kind of like diametrically opposed.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, but I love the scene and the emotion between them, that this thing where the home is where you are, and they're seemingly getting it right.
Yeah, and I think she's been really intentional about, like, not romanticizing any aspect of who he is, especially when it comes to his kids and when they're picking out the house and just kind of, like, knowing about the space and what they're looking for. So I was like, okay, Nova's ready to be a family lady.
Yeah, and one thing they've done this season, I think, is interwoven everyone's story. I loved how Charlie had that moment, I think, with Joaquin when they're talking about how Francis Bujo set this all up, but Joaquin is now working at the diner and she's trying to help him with asylum. So I love that they're showing that even though we're in these communities and sometimes we face off with one another, that we're trying to work towards, like, a common goal and a common good, and we can still see one another.
I think that's fair, and I also think that it puts this, like, real lens on what he did, because at the end of the day, what she's doing now, if he would have had that protection, he might not have been in a position where that could have been leveraged against him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was just a real great moment of empathy.
I love the fact that they're giving him a second chance, because the real world would never.
Because
they don't give second chances out here.
And so. I feel like we feel that a lot as minorities, where it's sort of like, you know, you do something wrong, whether or not you do it wrong validly or not, but then they want to take away your life for one mistake. You know, even just the way they charge people as adults. But, you know, typically if they're white, they're not charged as adults or charged as minors. But if they're black and 14, 13, charge them as an adult.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so I think we're seeing these issues play out, but watching the empathy in our communities for other people in those situations.
That's true. That's definitely a good point. True. Yeah.
Yeah, so I just love that they're showing how this whole melting pot of St. Joe's is interacting with one another.
But can I ask a question? Because you actually brought up a good point. Do you think that you could be like pro-black and for your community, but still date outside of your race?
But that's
100. Me personally, 100%. But I think that's something you're going to question and face for yourself. And I don't know if we've seen Nova answer that for herself. But you know, it'd be interesting to see if she goes undertakes that.
Oh, yeah, and I agree completely. That's exactly what I was alluding to in terms of just like mostly like the primary dynamics of the relationship. It's just being so politically opposed as well.
Yeah.
So, gotcha.
But I feel like they've done so much, so maybe they don't even need to go over that. But yeah, I feel like those two have been through a lot.
It definitely is going to be. I think everybody's trying to find their stability first before like the real, because this is us fighting within ourselves and trying to find the foundation. Because very soon we'll be attacked from outside, right? Once you take the relationship public, or once Charlie goes into office, now she is. So things are only going to get bigger.
Yeah. And so we got some news, predictions, and our Big Easy scene, but let's get into our news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Y'all ready for this? I don't know if it's necessarily gossip, but it's news. So Queen Sugar made TV Guide's 100 best shows list for this year.
Nice.
But they entered at 76. I feel like we need to...
How do we get it up higher?
Yes. Because I definitely feel like it should be a lot higher. But kudos to them for including them on that list. It was some great shows on it. So a lot of the cast members were super excited, and they tweeted it out that they were excited that their work is like being noticed and everything. Also, our girl Aunt Vi, or Tiffany Lifford, she has a book coming out.
Tina Lifford.
Ooh. Tina Lifford. Sorry, what did I call her?
Tiffany.
Tiffany. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Tina Lifford. The Little Book of Big Lies, A Journey into Inner Fitness. It'll be released on November 19th.
We'll take it.
Right. It is a transformative guide to self-care, and she is currently the founder of the Personal Development Network, the Inner Fitness Project, where she and so the book will provide her own insights to help you begin building inner health and well-being so you can thrive and change the way you think and live. So pre-order that book.
So you get a little Aunt Vi wisdom through Tina Lifford, too.
Yes. And I think I need that in my life. So I think I'm going to pre-order it
tonight. Inner Fitness. I really like that one. I first
heard definitely. And then, last but not least, Blue is growing up on us.
Yeah,
so shout out to all the Virgos. This is Virgo season. Can't pronounce it. Ethan Hutchison, his actual name. He just recently celebrated a birthday a few days ago.
How old?
9.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Growing up
so fast.
I know. Such a big... And let me... His life is lit in his 9 years than my 34 years. So, I mean...
You're like, hey, you're killing it, kid. You're doing good.
Yeah, so he celebrated. He had a birthday party at the Arcade Room out here in LA. So,
nice.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
Ethan. To all the Virgos.
That's really nice.
And, of course, we have our Big Easy scene where we give you guys a little slice of NOLA life. Hey. Oh, let's go. Turn it up.
I forgot the handkerchiefs.
Oh.
And the umbrellas for the finale. Oh, sorry, guys.
Do better.
So, actually, this article was taken from the New York Times and is written by Debbie Wiggerton. And the article is based on the sugar mill and the sugarcane industry in Louisiana.
Oh.
So, we're going to learn a little history about it. So... The United States makes about 9 million tons of sugar a year, and it ranks 6th in global production. The U.S. sugar industry receives about $4 billion in annual subsidies in the form of price supports, guaranteed crop loans, tariffs, and regulated imports of foreign sugar. Now, Louisiana's sugarcane industry by itself is worth, can anybody guess?
$200 million?
Just throw out a number.
Five mil.
$3 billion.
$3 billion.
Yes.
Billion.
Yes.
Well, I won if its price is right though. It's closer.
So it generates an estimated 16,400 jobs.
Wow.
Now, in 1795, a New Orleans sugar planter granulated the first sugar crystals in the Louisiana Territory. With the advent of sugar processing locally, sugar plantations exploded up and down the Mississippi River, and French planters, and of course the experts. Were the enslaved people. The enslaved expert sugar workers poured into Louisiana's cane industry. Now, according to historian Richard Follett, in 1840, the state ranked third in banking capital behind New York and Massachusetts, the state being Louisiana. Now, the value placed on enslaved people alone represented tens of millions of dollars in capital that financed investments, loans, and business. Much of that investment funneled back into the sugar mills, which is considered the most industrialized sector of the Southern agriculture. During this time, the number of enslaved labor crews doubled on sugar plantations, and in every sugar parish, black people outnumbered whites. They were the most skilled laborers that were doing the most dangerous agricultural and industrial work throughout the United States.
Wow.
Now, it's been said that Louisiana led the nation in destroying the lives of black people in the name of economic efficiency. Another historian named Michael Tatman found that Louisiana's sugar parishes had a pattern of deaths exceeding births. Most of the stories of brutality, torture, and premature death have never been told in classroom textbooks or historical museums because, as we all know, history has been refined, whitewashed, and romanticized in the mills and factories of Southern folklore. Now, the Whitney Plantation is the only sugar slavery museum in the nation. It's located on the west bank of the Mississippi, and it's home to dozens of once thriving sugar plantations. The museum also sits across the river from the site of the German Coast Uprising, which took place in 1811. Now, as many as 500 sugar rebels joined a liberation army headed toward New Orleans, only to be cut down by federal troops and local militia. About 100 were killed in battle or executed later, many with their heads severed and placed on pikes throughout the region. The revolt has been virtually redacted from the historical record, but not at the Whitney Plantation. Wow. I actually had the opportunity to visit the Whitney Plantation about 3 years ago, and heart-wrenching, to say the least. You know, I feel like it's one thing to read about a lot of the stuff that took place and just pretty much put in your imagination, but it's another thing to actually physically be in the presence of when a lot of these things.
Yeah, you see it.
You see it and you feel it and you're just overwhelmed and overcome with emotions. He's showing pictures now. That's actually like one of the chambers where they kept the enslaved. Wow. I actually stepped in there. It was so hot. It was so disgusting. It was just
chilling. Yeah.
Yes. And actually some of the slave quarters and the big house as well. Pictures in there. So, the article is very in-depth, eye-opening account of the history and injustices that are still taking place till this day in the sugar industry and specifically in Louisiana. So,
wow.
It's a lot.
Well, I mean...
And Queen Sugar touches on all of it. Yeah. It's not false at all. It's definitely a reality.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've thought about. Like, I want to sit and watch Queen Sugar with someone who does that work in Louisiana. Because, you know, sometimes as an attorney, I'm watching a legal show. I'm like, that's not right. That's right. That's not right.
Right.
So I have a sense they're getting it right, but I always want to sit with someone who's in the business and know if they're getting it right.
Yes. They actually, it's two black families currently that are actually out there in the news who talk about, like, the racism that they're enduring right now in terms of trying to keep that family sugar mill alive and thriving in Louisiana.
So, yeah, it's very real what they're experiencing.
Absolutely.
Wow. Well, let's get on to our predictions. I'm trying to get to
Sorry,
some lighter
fare. Sorry,
God, I
didn't make it so heavy.
That was amazing.
Yeah, that was good. That's good history, though.
I felt like we were talking about the sugarcane history, industry this whole time.
Yeah,
you know, might as well learn a little bit about it.
So what do you got for us for next season, Thelma?
You know, just a couple things. I think also very much listening to you, Dasher, I just felt like it really puts things in perspective as well, just in terms of check and privilege in every way, because this is also just speaking specifically about Ralph Angel's father. He's somebody who's going through a lot, you know, and working all these jobs and pretty much killed himself, ran himself to the ground. So there's also a financial aspect to that. But it also coupled with just the reality of just working people and the story of getting there in New Orleans. I don't know. I just felt that was really important to hear. But in terms of, like, next... Thank you. In terms of, like, just specifically next season, I feel like Charlie is definitely hasn't... It's not going to be a situation where she's met her match. I think that, if anything, she's going to reveal... very much be an eye-opening moment for, you know, this lady. Because I feel like at the end of the day, sometimes it takes a mirror to kind of see what you're doing. Because at the end of the day, she's still a black woman.
Yeah.
So it's like, is she going to start to realize her own identity in front of our faces through this process of, like, interacting with Charlie? So I don't know.
Wow. I like that prediction.
Calvin and Nova, I like where they're going, but I'm not sure if they're going to be able to actually get there and sustain.
Mm-hmm.
and then even with Charlie, I feel like she might play her hands a little bit into that political game, that corrupt political game.
Oh, okay.
I feel like it's going to be another plot twist with that somewhere. And I feel like Charlie might, they might force her hand where she has to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Hollywood's going to move forward with his men's clinic.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Dale is coming back.
Really? I don't think I see Jimmy Dale again.
I think he's coming back.
The ghost of Jimmy Dale.
The way they walked up on that porch, took his woman, kicked his groceries. Yeah. No one didn't have to kick the groceries like that. Jimmy back.
No.
Nova opened up that can of worms, and it's going to take a lot more to get rid of him than just maybe. Stay away from me. Like, not one step closer. That's what Nova said. Opened up the phone. Nova's back typing again. I'm a little scared and concerned.
Yeah,
I'm like, Nova, shut the laptop.
Yeah. We just need a break.
Like, shut the laptop.
I deal with you guys who said Nova.
Well, when we heard that voiceover, we're like, she's not typing again.
Right. And then, sure enough, with a big smile on her face, I'm like, oh, gosh.
We just did this.
Give her a chance. Give her a chance. You know, believe in people. Give them a chance.
It took us 13 weeks to finally,
forgive you, and then you back to typing.
See, she's supposed to give up on her dreams? Wait. Are we to say that she wasn't successful in achieving her goal?
No, ooh. She wasn't. She wasn't. No. Definitely. I like that question, though. She wasn't successful in achieving.
You don't think she was successful?
So, first off, we have to define what we all think her goal is, though.
Well, her
goal was to, you know, people are dying because of their secrets. So let's expose the secret and people will live freer from their secrets. Yeah. They will live happier lives. Each and every single one of those people, though the ruckus that happened prior to.
I think they would have gotten to where they got to and without the ruckus and could have been prospering even more. So we see this
but you're not answering the question.
I think she ruined it for them. I think she ruined their journey. I think she made their journey difficult and arduous. I think they could have had a different journey that saw them in higher places.
Do you think that everyone has forgiven her and it's not going to get thrown back in her face next season? Because, you know, sometimes you'd be like, I forgive, but you really don't.
They currently have the spirit of forgiveness. But, of course, if she does something in the same vein, then, you know, naturally we go, but you just did this. Just like we kind of had that whole visceral thing. We saw her typing again. So if she comes out and is like, hey, but read this first, they might have that same reaction like Nova. But I do think they have genuinely forgiven her. I think Ross still's got more work to do. Mm-hmm. And as she admitted, like, I know I have to earn your trust back. But, yeah, I think they're genuinely forgiving her. But it could come back to bite her if she tries to go down a road similar to that.
Right. That's true. I feel like she could achieve this without the book. Just how that journal, one-on-one time, and they could expose the family secrets. I'm not sure she necessarily achieved what she...
Darla could have been open and honest with the family and everyone she needed to be without losing her job and relapsing.
Maybe it was an eye-opener for Darla as well. You know, Darla, in terms of her relapse.
I think everyone. I have to agree. Right. I have to agree to disagree on this one. I think that at the end of the day, when the dust settles, in my opinion only, that yes, Nova did achieve her goal, but in the process she learned that there are other ways and there are better ways to do things. I think that's what I would say.
I think she wanted to free her family unscathed, and she freed her family, but they're not unscathed, and that's why I don't think she reached her goal.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's still in the court of public opinion. You know, the book is out there, and everyone's still going to have questions. Everyone's still, like...
Oh, yeah, and there's still maybe more fallout. People may still have repercussions as a result of the book. But it looks like the biggest stuff is kind of, you know...
Internally, I feel like, no.
We don't know how it's going to go. But right. I think we might see the family get a little famous. And so I'll leave that into my predictions, is I think there might be the family getting a little famous next year as a result of the book, where people are, you know, say, I love your story. Maybe they want to make it to a movie, and that might be another source of tension. Because everything ended so cleanly, there's got to be some tension bubbling up. I do think Hollywood's going to go ahead and start this men's group, so I love the way that's going, and I love seeing him and Vi back on the same page. You're like, what do you got? You got something?
I do, but go ahead. I'll let you finish. I'm going to let you finish.
And let's see. We got Ra and Darla. I don't know if that... I think it's actually right. I think it's going to end well. Just so that last conversation, their conversation was so adult, was so responsible that I think it may end well, but they're going to have some external forces. They're going to deal with, I think, the rape issue. I think they're going to deal with this other character. Because, you know, they dropped little nuggets. Saying his name, being very specific about it, I think that character's going to come back up next season. I don't think we see Jimmy Dale. I think he was embarrassed enough. And, you know, there comes a point where you realize, okay, she won. I think he's there, you know?
See, that was going to be my prediction adding to that point. Jimmy Dale going to join the men's clinic.
Oh.
Pop up in there.
Okay.
He needs some healing, too.
Maybe.
He needs to talk to somebody.
Maybe. We'll see. I'm over Jimmy Dale. I'm over Jimmy Dale. Like, we don't
want
to see Jimmy Dale.
I don't want to see
We don't. But, I mean, it could be plot twists. I mean, even though... Queen Sugar is based in reality, they still have to keep, you know.
Yeah, it could be. We'll see. But you know, if they do it, they will do it in a way that's realistic because they always make that happen.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. But with Ralph Angel and Darla, you said they're going to have to deal with some external forces. They've been dealing with external forces since the beginning.
Well, no, I think that Ray Bish is going to come back up in terms of maybe trying to find this guy that did it, because they were just so specific about naming his name in one of the episodes that I think they were setting that groundwork for that. And there's got to be tension, right? Because right now everyone is left like, oh, I think this is great. So I think there's going to be some tension there. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it for my prediction. Wow. Of course, you got Charlie and this whole, you know, Parker issue. They're going to face off. And I don't know which way that wind's going to blow quite yet.
I think Parker might take the land.
Parker is in deep denial.
You think she's in denial? What do you mean?
I believe. Well, we'll see. We'll see it play out. What
about identity? Well, right now, Parker's very much about the bottom line.
And yeah, but I want to know if that's what she really believes, or is that what she's been told to believe? Is this like internalized traditionalism in whichever way you were brought up?
Well, yeah. I mean, I actually agree with you in the way that I think maybe she doesn't identify as black, but she will start to get to that identity. So I don't think it's like purposeful. I think she's just been raised in a certain way, and then maybe through the interaction with Charlie she'll start to see some things.
I don't think she necessarily gets to it, but maybe she even comes to it because she doesn't realize it.
You're how did
y'all figure out that she doesn't identify as black or could
we're just saying that could be something that
with Charlie seemed to indicate like, hey, this is St. Joe's, and it just seemed like Parker was like, I don't care about race or color, it's about the money, about the bottom line.
Yeah.
That's what I got from that conversation. I think her not seeing at all the race and not even being empathetic towards it means that there's some disconnect there.
Yeah, she also went to like Spelman. She's pretty aware, I would say.
So she should be, but seems to be a disconnect.
But did she, Anva said she thinks she went to Spelman, right? Or did she know for sure? Did she know for sure?
I think she said, I heard Spelman. I'm assuming she was correct, but she didn't say like with certainty. But Spelman and then Wharton.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So we'll see. But I like Parker's character. I think we're gonna be set up for some explosive.
I love the space off.
Yeah. It was just really just intense. This entire episode was just so intense. We were all just like, okay.
Yeah.
What's next?
And they're basically like, Charlie, we're not gonna give you all the bomb lines. So Parker, come on in. Let's see what you can do next season. Because I think they're gonna be equals for most of the season until we see one of them pull ahead.
Next season is all gonna be about them facing off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Constantly. Yeah. It will be fun.
Yeah. But I am just want to say I'm proud of you, Micah. You did make the right decision. I'll definitely say that.
And Micah and Kiki. I'm still that jury's still out for me, but I love that he's gonna be close to Kiki.
He's like understanding.
He made the right decision. You know.
He definitely did.
He's gonna be close to Kiki, so we'll see. so glad you guys joined us. My name is Shaka Smith, guys. We got to wind on down, but you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
And my name is Dontara Terrell, and you can find me on all social media at Dontara Terrell.
And my name is Thelma Baysway Daniel. Thank you guys for joining us. You can catch me at Instagram at Thelma.
We'll see you season 5.
Bye, guys.
Founder Kevin Undergaro and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.